Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Oh, I do like it when you turn things on, especially me, Aidan.
I think that means we've started, doesn't it? At least I hope so. If you said something like that to me under normal circumstances, I might be slightly worried. Good morning. Hello.
Hello. We're back again. And it's, can you believe it's March and the summer is upon us? Well, I suppose it's spring, technically. Technically
spring, as of yesterday, as we record, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my birthday yesterday. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was Sunday. Hang on, what day is it today? It's Monday the 2nd, isn't it? And my birthday was on Sunday the 1st. That's right.
Now, you see, I was about to say...
Happy birthday to me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, oh, goodness, Ted, you've done it again. You haven't told us, all the best. But if you can't even remember yourself when your birthday was... Oh, well, nevertheless, Ted, all the very best. I hope you, in your own way, I hope you enjoyed it.
I did put a cheeky post into MeWe about a ridiculous thing on Amazon, but I won't go into that because of other reasons. But if anyone wants to read that, it's in the MeWe group. But yes, birthday was Sunday, and I spent the whole day on my own. Absolutely delightful it was. Not meeting any other members of the human race, and... on Saturday, me and my dad did a kind of birthday cake thing. But it was very nice.
You
and
see,
I got some Newcastle brown ale.
Oh, very nice. I was just going to say, each to their own, Ted. You are the perfect epitomical example of each to their own. Many people would say, good Lord, I want to have a party. I want to have my whole family. Whereas you don't, but neither is right nor wrong. As I say on this show every 10 minutes, each to their own.
Yes, indeed. The happy hermit is resident here.
I can feel a podcast coming on. The happy hermit.
Yeah. Whateverworks.works is our website. We're back, as I say, it's March. This is our March show. Whateverworks is our website, and you can scoop up anything you need from there. If you get lost, it's all at tedsalmon.com. And if you want to find out what's going on with Aidan, he's at aidanbell.com. That's it, really, isn't it?
I think it is.
I think we might have a show title, though, and it's something like... Ted's been grooming, or Ted groomed by Ted or something.
I found that actually this story starts a little further back, which is to say that I may have mentioned on the show before, my mother and I have discovered the joys of going to the theatre with an elderly disabled person. She gets very, very cheap tickets. Normally you go to the theatre in London, you're going to pay over £100 a ticket. But when I go with my mother, her ticket is normally half price or at a very, very decent reduction. And my ticket is free because I'm accompanying my mother as what they call the essential companion.
Wow.
So we are making the best of it and going to see theatre at something like a quarter or even a fifth of the price that it would actually be if we paid full whack for the both of us. So we're spending a lot of time going to London, and very, 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 very enjoyably, of course, just for me being an old theatre queen, I love it. We go to London and we see shows for no money. Mm-hmm. And while walking down the Strand, darling, the other week, we passed, my eye was suddenly caught by this really rather... very attractive and posh-looking Ted's Grooming Room. Big neon lights in lovely floral handwriting. Ted's Grooming Room. It's a barber, but it's a very posh barber with some lovely old-fashioned barber's poles hanging in the window as decor. And through the window, you can see the old-fashioned red leather seats and the basins with all the balms and things on the side. And it absolutely caught my eye, and I had to stop and take a picture of Ted's Grooming Room as we passed it.
Yeah. I've never heard of this, but apparently, having put this in the group, we discovered that there are a number of these littered around the...
So you have a chain, and you never knew it.
Well, yeah. I think they were mainly in the southeast, though. I can't remember now. It seems like a while ago we did this. But yeah, Ted's grooming room.
If you haven't seen the picture in the group, folks, do have a look, because I mean, it's just a quick snap I did with my phone on the way past, but it's lovely. And if I ever needed to go to the hairdresser, because again, we've talked about this on the show a lot, I mean, I don't think either you or I ever set foot in hairdressers anymore, do we, Ted, or barbers? Because we do it all ourselves now with these devices we talked a lot about. But if I ever did have to go back to a barber, I think I'd have to choose Ted's grooming room.
I bet you it's expensive. It just looks expensive.
That's true,
it's like, go down to the local Turkish guy around the corner and it's a fiver. And in here, it'll probably be 25 quid, I'd imagine.
At least, yes. Oh, but it's worth it for Ted. You're worth it.
Yeah. I want to tell the story of the impossible to assemble record storage rack holder thingy.
Oh, which, well, please,
I saw, I've got records all over the place and they're not very well organized, so I thought I would get the this thing to put them in, which looked really nice and it reviewed really well, but there was a couple of people that said once you get it together it's very nice sort of thing. Anyway, I'm usually happy to have a go at these sorts of things, but I gave up halfway through, you know. It was so ludicrously difficult to assemble. I undid what I'd done, put it back in the box and got Amazon to come and collect it. I can't imagine why they wanted to collect it. I was expecting them to do what they do with you and say, well, just keep it or chuck it away.
Not for the price I'm seeing for it. No, Ted.
Well, when I bought it, it was 45 quid, which was why I bought it, really, because it had been reduced from 60 quid. Anyway, the tale goes on. There was at least one part missing. The instructions clearly had one piece of wood the wrong way around. I looked and looked and studied that, and it was clearly the diagram was wrong. And I had to unpick that and do it again. The instructions were hideously complicated. There was one joining plate you were supposed to put between two bits of wood with some thingies between them. And when you put these two together with the pre-made holes, you screw it in and it gets these two bits of wood together. Well, when I did that, there was a big gap between the two bits of wood. It was just really badly designed as a self-assembly, I think.
Tell me this is what you did on your birthday.
No, it wasn't. It was another day. I sat there for about 2 hours trying to do this. And in the end, my dad was watching me. And in the end, I just gave up. I said, no, I'm not doing this. This is ridiculous. I reckon you need three people to hold this, or a workbench with multiple vices. It was absurdly hard. And anyway, to be fair, Amazon didn't argue. They arranged for Royal Mail to come and pick it up, refunded me within 4 hours of the collection, and it was all done and dusted. So, having now researched further into this, apparently there's a range at IKEA called the Kallax, K-A-L-L-A-X, which records fit perfectly into, and which is much easier to assemble, apparently, and simpler. So I'm going to do that, I think. But there you go. After all this had finished, incidentally, I got I put a review into Amazon, the place where you put reviews, and said all this, and then I got a message from the firm that had done it, offering me a refund, and I don't know if they, perhaps in some countries they don't get automatic Amazon refunds, so they think that people are stuck with stuff. I don't know.
Oh, I hope you didn't miss a trick there. I hope you didn't miss a trick and you could have ended up keeping it and getting the money back.
Yeah. Not that I really wanted it. But,
well, look on the bright side. It was quality time with your father, if nothing else.
Well, while I was cursing and
Here, talking of cursing, I found something and I thought of you straight away. Did you know you can buy a chocolate bar called...
What?
I was on Amazon. Do you know what? I was actually looking, weirdly, my search term was Chocolate Father Christmas, because, you know, me being me, I needed some Chocolate Father Christmases in March. Don't even ask. So I went onto Amazon, and what it presented me with was this entire range of chocolate with utterly filthy names, which we won't be able to tell you on the show. But, I mean, it was... I didn't know where to put it in the show, because it's certainly not something... I certainly don't want one of those, thank you very gladly. But, oh, God, my phone alarm's going off. What does it say? Rehearsal center. Yeah, sorry. Distracted by a phone alarm. I shall continue. It actually wasn't that expensive. I might have some just to eat, because I think it was something like £1 and something for a bar, which these days I think is a pretty good price for a bar of chocolate. Mind you, it might be horrid. Anyway, I digress. The names are incredible, and I thought we'd have some fun. Let's see what we feel we do and we don't have to beep out. If I ask you, Ted, to please read aloud the list of names of chocolate bars that I have written. These are genuine chocolate bars, and you can buy chocolate that is called...
Okay, here we go. Baldy. Moist. Dickhead. Old fart. Dick. And twat.
And the list goes on, but I think we get the point. Now, you'll have heard a lot of beeps in there, folks. I hope Ted and I will discuss which ones we think shouldn't be broadcast. But it's a lot of fun. If you've got the stomach for it, and if you can take the classic warning of some viewers may find this offensive, do have a look. Just search for rude chocolate on Amazon. It's a lot of nonsense, but it's fun and it's rude. And who doesn't like schoolboy rude words?
I'm quite surprised sometimes of what rude stuff is on Amazon. For example, there's a mug you can buy with UNT across the face of it.
That's right, yes.
And then when you put it in the right position, the handle makes the C at the front. Mm-hmm. I think, well, you know, Amazon don't really do much for censorship, do they? Because people will be offended by that, and it's easily searchable.
But it's the world we live in. I mean, look at this clothing line, FCUK. You know, it's quite clear what it's supposed... You know, everybody misreads it, and you're supposed to, but, I mean, that's a major fashion brand. So it's a rude old world we live in, isn't it? Oh, don't.
It certainly is. It's very, very rude. And hang on a minute. I'm going to blow my nose because I've got to tell you about a cold I've had.
OK, if we finish this item with a raspberry, I can't think of anything better. And there it is.
On the last show, you had this man flu, and I reckon that you gave it to me, because just after we recorded, I got a completely nasty cold. Now, I haven't had a cold for like nearly 20 years. I was trying to work it out. I think it's 18 years since I had a cold, if you don't count COVID. And I just never get colds. And I got this cold, and it was just after that show. And I reckon somehow you got it down the pipes to me.
Well, there's an awful lot of psychology goes on, isn't there? I mean, I think I've told you that living here with my elderly mum, any time I feel unwell, I do not breathe a word about it to my mother, because then otherwise the next day she'll wake up unwell herself. So, yeah, maybe I'm sorry. Maybe I just put the karma through the wires to you. Sorry about that, Ted. But, I mean, I win. Mine lasted a month. When I finally woke up one morning and thought, wow, I'm actually free of this, even the cough has gone, it was a full month since it had started. So it was a bit of a nasty one this year, wasn't it?
It certainly was. And I go out of my way to not bump into any other members of the human race. The one exception is my dad. Even when I go into Tesco or whatever, go into a shop, I tend to have my helmet on and my mask. So, I don't even get... Anyway.
Here comes Darth Vader to buy his groceries.
Exactly. And the one exception is my dad. And my dad has got his life is going out socialising and mixing with anyone, takes no precautions at all. You know, and so that's clearly where I got it from.
There you go.
I won't really
man.
Blame you.
No, blame your old man. It's easier. Do you realise we still haven't got to feedback? We've had all those items in the sort of not quite sure where to put them category. Shall we get cracking with the feedback then?
Yes, yes.
Which starts with me. Me! I'm bringing something to the show. You may remember on the last show, I think it was, I suggested a PCM cooling collar that you might be interested in looking at.
Oh, yeah.
You went
off
and looked at some cheaper ones on Amazon, as is your wont. I bought the cooling vest. The reason I found this was because I was looking for a cooling vest to wear underneath my new Santa outfit. Listeners will know I'm renewing my Santa outfit. And I took the plunge and I bought an Easy Cool Down Complete Performers PCM cooling vest. What this is it's a very lightweight mesh vest, which looks a bit like a sort of policeman's bulletproof jacket, which you put on. And into this, you can put four moderately large, which is fine because I use it as part of my fat suit, moderately large PCM cooling packs. Now, I haven't really tested it yet. I only put one into the fridge just to see what would happen, and I got it out of the fridge and it seemed fine. What I find incredible is that the packs that I have got are already solid at room temperature. And in the few times that so far I've put it on as part of my testing and trying out various costume aspects and things, I've noticed that it's cool. And it sits in the living room for days in room temperature, and yet when I put it on, it feels cool against my body and it keeps my body cool while I'm testing my Santa costume. So having not even put one into the fridge yet, I find it's working. So I'm very impressed with this thing. Again, it's technology that I don't really understand that we talked about. We were sort of saying, where's Steve Litchfield when you need him? It's all to do with the liquid inside these packs has a very low or very high boiling point and therefore remains cold even when the room around it is warmer, something like that. It's brilliant. It's magic. It's a magic vest and it keeps me cool. And if anyone had any need for such a thing, I would recommend it. It cost £177, so it was an outlay. But looking ahead to my upcoming Santa gigs this season, when I know that I come off stage sweating like a pig in a sauna, I'm looking forward to now having this cool vest underneath and hopefully it will be a lot less uncomfortable for me. That's it.
They look really good. Apparently they come from Holland, and they're saying in the blurb here that they're 20% lighter than water, and they've got this bio-based phase change technology. Obviously, they've kind of, well, someone's done some research on this and made it a bit magic, I guess.
Yes, and for the concerned among you, it's all very ethical and harmless, and it's all plant-based, and so, you know, you could probably open it and drink the stuff and it wouldn't kill you, so there's no concerns from that side either. Ethically sound as well. What's not to love?
I could do this in the summer for sure, except that I cannot imagine for 1 minute the large size would fit me.
I don't know, Ted. I mean, I've bought the smallest size, and even then I've had to have it on its smallest setting for my skinny frame. So I'm having the smallest of the small, and that fits me like a glove. So I'm sure you'd be fine with the large size. I still think you should get yourself the cool collar, which I know looks like an S&M toy from a sex shop, but if you can get over that, I think the cool collar might be something perfect for you, and I can now vouch for the stuff now that I've bought the vest.
Cool. Okay.
Cool! See what you did there? Oh, it's me again. Sorry. Just laughing at my own joke. Philip Rabe comes back to us on the last show. On Better Before's autograph books. Oh, yes, we talked about autograph books for quite a while. Philip says, I have several autograph books containing TV personalities and also a lot of the space shuttle astronauts. However, I cheated, and I did this by writing to the people, enclosing a stamped addressed envelope, of course. Most did reply with a signed photo and some included a short note. So I suppose it doesn't really count as they're not in the book. Well, all right, no. I mean, for the pedantic among us, no, they are not literally written into the autograph book. However, nevertheless, you have collected genuinely and individually and with some effort the autographs of these people. So I think even if it's a photograph that you may have stuck into the book, I still think it counts 100%, Philip. That's still collecting autographs and is to be admired. Well done, sir.
Well done indeed. Wayne Keeling is next. Just caught up on the last episode. Great show as always, guys. Thank you for the feedback. It was I that bought the LED magnifier. So do you remember that magnifier?
The one I said I might get for my mother. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I've got to say that for £20, it works brilliantly well. And as an added bonus, it plugs into the USB on my PC. So it can be clamped onto the side of the desk, which is really cool. Also, a little project I'm working on, if you're interested, is a little FM radio for my mum, who is in the early stages of dementia. Here's a link to that. I'll put a link in the show notes to the website of the guy who designed it. This is a 3D printed radio, so you've got to be able to do some 3D printing to do it, but this is a real better before. So if you click through to this place, it's called Zion Brock 3D printed radio, and if you click through to that and read all the blurb, it's all about simplicity and no apps and no technology much, and it's just a really simple radio which he's been able to build for next to nothing, and anyone can do the same thing because he's put all the blueprints and the templates on that website. So if you've got a 3D printer, you could do the same, and you end up with a radio that's simple, old-fashioned, for people to use that want a simple life.
It's lovely, but I can't help but laugh at the irony that it is a beautifully simple, traditional, old-fashioned radio, but you need a modern 3D printer to make it. It sort of negates itself there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Here, I'm wearing, because it's always Sunday in this house, I'm sat here in my jeans and a very old sweater with little bits coming off it that I even was considering I'd probably have to throw away quite soon. The reason I mention this is because an item has popped up from Elizabeth Everly, which I thought, oh, maybe I should buy myself one of these or 10 of these. It's the fabric shaver. She doesn't give the name of it, or maybe she will later. She's talking about a fabric shaver, £14.98 in the UK or £12.99 in the US, which works out at £9.66. So it's a lot cheaper for Elizabeth to buy one than it would be for me. Our hand-knitted wool sweaters, says Elizabeth, were beginning to look a little shaggy from heavy use. Yes, like the one I'm wearing. And I wanted to make them look sharp again. A knitting podcaster highly recommended the, here it is, the Piu fabric shaver. That's P-E-I-Y-U-U. Piu. P-A-Y-U. Fabric shaver. So I took a gamble, she says. I've previously used my mother's vintage Remington fabric shaver as well as a manual Gleaner, a battery-free shaver lint remover, with mixed results. But lint removal technology, I didn't even know there was such a thing, has quietly progressed over the last 30 years or so. The Piu shaver has a built-in 2,600 milliamp battery, which charges over USB-C and will purportedly...
Hurrah.
And will purportedly run for up to 4.5 hours on a charge. She says in brackets, that's a lot of shaving. An LED panel shows the shaver's power level, speed options, charging status, and a removable lint collection container stores the tiny bits of shaved fibres until you're ready to dispose of them. It also comes with two separate blades and a cleaning brush. I was delighted with the results, and so were the members of my knitting circle. While the shaver works wonders on spiffing up rustic woolens and delicate cashmere, it also removes pilling from old blankets, well-loved hoodies, and various other items. Now our sweaters look considerably more well-kept as we freeze our asses off in bold in the cold Michigan winter. Cheers. Oh, cheers, Elizabeth. And you know what? Do you know, I'd see something I'd missed. Lawnmowers for clothes. I've overlooked this in my life. This is a shame. I think I'm going to have to get one of these and play with it. Have you used these in the past, Ted? Or have you come across
no,
them before?
No, but my mum had one. I remember back in the 70s or 80s, my mum had one. And she thought it was great. She used to go around just looking for jumpers to defuzz. What's interesting about this Elizabeth thing, though, is that the amount of words in here that are completely meaningless to me, the one that jumped out first was pilling. Removes pilling from old blankets. I've never heard of pilling.
No, that's why I sort of rushed over it, hoping I'd sounded like I knew what I was talking about. I presume that's the little bits of crap that collect on the fabric.
Yeah,
I'm assuming that's what it is. Do you know what? I mean, living here with an elderly lady who wears sweaters that her great-great-grandmother grandmother knitted before the Crimean War. I think this could be something useful in our house. I might look into this. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. You have piqued
my
interest.
Yeah. And thank you for ongoingly listening, Elizabeth, from the US of A.
Talk about words, ongoingly. Well done, Ted. I like that one.
And also, don't be worrying too much, because it won't be long until your freezing arse is turned into a frazzled, boiling arse. Even in Michigan, I guess.
You brought my cough
back. The summer will be here soon, so don't you worry. Right, talking about people from America... Daniel B is next, who also hails from across the pond, and he wanted to talk about the Ridge Key organizer, which we have talked about before, but not lately. He's found this one for £50, which is actually very nice. And the key holder works great, he says. So the idea is that you put this your keys inside this very nifty looking kind of leather-looking holder, and you slide them out sideways. As I say, we have done this before, so, you know, this isn't new.
Yes.
But he's found this particular interesting one. So the Ridge Key Organiser. I put a link in there. I found it on Amazon UK as well. And it does look really nice. It looks really well made. I like the industrial design of the turning screw that you undo to put the keys in. Yeah, it looks really nice. So good shout. £59 in the UK. Yes, well done, Daniel.
I mean, it would have to be nice for £59, and it does look lovely. And do you know what? I would snap one up if I had £59, but for the fact that, unfortunately, not all keys are flat. I mean, on my own keyring, for example, I have five keys on my keyring, and only two of them are flat keys. And so, unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to use it, which is a shame, because it does look lovely.
Well, you're an oddball, because most people have got flat keys. I was looking at my keyring, and I reckon that... probably 75% of them are flat like this, because most people have what do they call it in America? Latch keys. I think we call them Yale lock keys, I suppose, and they call them latch keys.
Well, looking at my keyring, I've got two flat Yales that would be perfect. Then I've got a Chubb, which is the main lock of our door. Then I've got a bike lock key, which is a flat key, but then they put a great big wadge of plastic at the top of it, so it's no longer flat because it's got a plastic wadge on it. As has the fifth key. So yeah, I mean, it's a shame. Nothing against Daniel's find. I think it's a lovely find, and I'd love to use one myself, but I can't because I haven't got flat keys. The end.
ooh, you are a troublemaker. You really are.
I'm so sorry. Daniel B's back. He brings us the Metal Masters Titanium Wedding Rings. Now, this one's fun. He says, this company makes rings that are decent quality and can give you the look of a wedding band for £37. I use them when I do cleaning, workouts, and when I go on holiday, says Daniel. That way, if my fake wedding ring should get lost or damaged, I don't have to worry about an expensive repair or replacement.
Yes, my question is, why on earth would anyone want to look as though they're married? Just take the thing off.
Your facetiousness aside, I am wondering, I mean, my wedding ring never comes off my finger. It's just there. I mean, if I'm cleaning or going on holiday or doing a workout, it remains on my finger. Maybe some people have slippery fingers and rings are at risk of falling off. I don't know.
I hate wearing rings. When I was married, both times, I used to get into real trouble for not wearing my wedding ring.
Oh, is it like the watch? You don't like anything, watches or rings or anything on
it? Well, mind you, I'm changing with the watch as I look at my wrist now, and I've got a very nice watch on my wrist. So I think the watch thing, I've probably got past, but not rings. I just hate things on my fingers. It's horrible. Anyway, each to their own. There you go. 10 minutes are gone and we said it again.
Time for a jingle.
Ted's Almagundi.
I put a blog post up in my Salmagundi about... Why staying in is the new going out? And it did generate some kind of interest from our group in MeWe. So a friend of mine told me that he paid £6.80 for a pint of lager last week. A couple of weeks ago, I got this cold that I told you about, and I thought to myself, why do people go out? So I started to look it up, and apparently there's this new acronym, is that the right thing?
Yeah.
Called JOSH. JOSH is the joy of staying home. So previously people used the acronym FOMO, which is fear of missing out. So you go out because you've got a fear of missing out on what's going on. But now it's changed. It's the joy of staying home. So I started to just write a bit of a blurb on it, and I picked up various things online, and it was quite interesting to explore. There are a lot of people that are staying home. They're not going out. They're not going to noisy pubs. They're not paying £6.80 for a pint of beer when you can buy one in Tesco for 50p for pretty much the same kind of thing, which is, I couldn't believe that a pint of lager was £6.80. Controlling your environment, staying at home, having an opportunity to kind of recharge the batteries and not come straight from work and out to the next kind of social event. You can just create your own environment at home, and you can socialise with who you want to. That's one of the things that that I do find is really relaxing myself. And again, it's each to their own thing, but very relaxing myself is when I've got no appointments looming, I've got nowhere to go, nothing to do. I'm, as you know, I am the happy hermit, but even laying that aside, I think people get stressed with knowing that, like, tomorrow they've got to go to the dentist, or the next day they've got to go and see the job centre manager or whatever it is that is in your life. And when you're sitting there and you've got no appointments, nothing to do, no parties to attend to, I personally think that I can just relax and not have to think about anything or worry about anything. And so I put this post up and just to see what people thought, really. And we got a few responses. Chris Clayton said the driving factor for most people, I think, is money. And I think it's rather sad and sinister that the average person with average salary can't actually afford to go out and do once normal things anymore.
Yes, that's certainly true. John Tanzer, with whom I think I concur, by the way, if you want my opinion, says, does it have to be a binary choice? This is it. You see, I think this is the ultimate each to their own. John says, does it have to be a binary choice? I've always had a preference for dinner parties, but that means going out to someone else's home about half the time. But some things cannot be done as well at home as they can elsewhere. Going to a concert or the opera, going to a live sports event. Other things, by definition, cannot be done at home at all, such as broadening the mind by travelling. Ultimately, is it not a matter of balance?
Yeah, but then also you've got the whole thing about money that Chris has just talked about, is that in order to conduct a lifestyle that is reflective of that, well, unless you take your mum to the theatre,
yes,
then money's not a problem.
Yeah, but surely John is making the point. He's not necessarily saying we must all be able to afford to do these things. He's just saying that those things cannot be done at home. I mean, even if you just have to say, I can't go out to the opera or the theatre because I can't afford it, at least you're appreciating that would be better done live than at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't go to a football match at home, except you can watch it on the telly. Anyway, there are pros and cons there, but I do agree with Chris that a lot of that is to do with money, regardless of whether you want to do these things or not. It still comes down very often to money and the price of a ticket to go to the opera and the infrastructure of how to get there and the cost of going on holiday abroad somewhere. You know, you've got to be able to afford that stuff. Anyway, Adrian Brain is next. In addition to the cost influence, I wonder if this trend was triggered by the pandemic lockdowns, when people discovered how to entertain themselves at home through necessity and actually then found they quite enjoyed it. I think there's something to that as well.
Do you remember that lovely old gag about, in the old days, we all used to gather round the piano at home and wish that one of us knew how to play it? I agree. And Andy Hagman says, staying at home is the new normal. I love the pandemic when no one questioned it. I agree. Do you know what? I love the pandemic too. Yeah, I mean, that's getting quite deeply philosophical. But yeah, I loved the bubble. We were all in a bubble. We had to stay at home. We had the excuse of not having to feel guilty for staying at home. Yeah. It was wonderful.
Absolutely. Yes. I totally agree. I thought when the pandemic was on, apart from all the people dying, of course, and being really ill, I thought it was great. And you'd go out for your kind of daily exercise, and there's no one in the streets, and all the smog was removed from Delhi and from Tokyo, and the whole world just changed, and it was so much more healthy. Well, at least physically. Anyway. Yes, so there it got. My blog post, I'll put a link in the show notes to that if anyone wants to read it more fully. And it was why staying in is the new going out.
I wonder who bought it.
Somebody bought a heavy-duty boxing punch bag.
Oh, God, that no wasn't idea. Me. Let me interrupt right now.
I can't imagine it was you.
That was not me.
I can't imagine you and Hazel with a punch bag
no.
there. Anyway.
I don't need a punch bag. I've got Hazel.
Oh, dear. You'll be in trouble now. Right. It looks like with this kit, which depending on what kind of kit you want, it goes between 30 and 60 quid. You get a whole kind of kit of stuff. A pair of boxing gloves and straps for your knuckles and a skipping rope and one of those or a pair of those wrist grip thingies. I don't know what they're called, where you put them in your hands and just squeeze your hands and it springs them out again. I don't know what they're called.
Wrist exercises. Yes.
Wrist. Right. Okay. And you also get a frame and fixings and, you know, stuff to actually put this punch bag up on a wall or something. You need a pretty strong wall, wouldn't you?
Yes.
But yeah, someone has bought this and I thank you for that. I can't imagine that I would be wanting to do one of this. We used to, when I worked in residential care, we had this this guy who had some anger issues and he had a punch bag. We attached it to his ceiling and it was great. It worked really well. We taught him to, when he was, instead of going and punching other residents or flat packing his furniture, bag and it worked really well. So, yes, the heavy-duty boxing punch bag. Thank you to whoever bought it. While I was looking in these purchases, no one bought this, but I happened to stumble into this Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon T-shirt. And I thought, ooh, that looks nice. Then I started to look at the sizes and colours, and I couldn't believe it. They've got a really, really good range of sizes, even for me, and even tall ones. So there's a specialist kind of range of these. Anyway, the point is that they're 25 quid each, and I thought to myself, £25 for one T-shirt, which who knows what quality is like. Even your Fruit of the Loom ones you were talking about, I mean, they were nowhere near that kind of price. So they're obviously cashing in on the whole Pink Floyd thing, but it would still be nice to have one. And you can see the range of sizes available there, which I was quite impressed with, because normally, you know, I don't stand a chance buying stuff like this, but I might do with this.
Yeah, and as you say, you're paying for the Pink Floyd. But hey, it's Pink Floyd. It was engineered by Alan Parsons. That's worth 25 Yay. Quid.
Anyway, whoever it was that bought the punching bag, thank you very much. My affiliate link is tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK, and you can go straight to that URL, buy stuff on Amazon as normal, and I get a few pennies from whatever you buy, as I have done with the punch bag. So thank you for that. I know what's been bought, incidentally, but I don't know who has bought it. So your anonymity is protected from the likes of the riffraff like me.
And me.
Still using and still using.
I'm still using the CISAT. You remember that? I sent one of
you're
these.
You're using
to
it, but you can't say it. Go on.
The CISAT. I sent one of these to you because you said, "Oh, my mum
That's
would like
right.
one of these."
Yes.
The Sisal soap bag with drawstring. Now, this is a thing you put soap in. Now, I still use old-fashioned soap and not products because I've got sensitive skin. So I buy this Dove stuff for sensitive skin. And I put these the bar of soap inside this drawstring thingy. And it works brilliantly well. This was in Whatever Works 89, which is right back in August 19. So like 7 years ago. And it's still in daily use. I've still got another one in the drawer, which is brand new, and I've never felt the need to use because the first one is still working absolutely fine. And on the outside of this this drawstring bag thingy, you get this kind of slightly rough texture. So when you're washing yourself, you get this exfoliation thing going on, and it just works really well. And it, as I say, still using, I'll put a link in the show notes to those. The actual one I bought is not available anymore, but there are plenty of others there. So I shall put a link for anyone that wants one and to try one out, because they're really cheap as well.
I remember this. I remember you kindly sent us one because my mother, I'm glad to say had in the past tense now, I think, a habit of collecting the horrible, tiny, gnarly bits of old bars. You know, when you've used a bar of soap for 10 years and there's a tiny bit left at the bottom, she keeps them all. And I remember we put them all into the bag together, made a sort of potpourri of soap for her to use. But no, I'm afraid in the subsequent 7 years, that's gone the way of the dodo, I'm afraid.
Right, okay. Fair enough.
I'm still using the USB-A LEDs. Do you remember that? I can't remember who found them. I think maybe I did. But in show 185, 3rd of May 2024, so a couple of years ago now, we brought these little tiny, they're sort of LED socket size LEDs. Sorry, they're USB socket size LEDs. They're tiny little LEDs that you just plug into the socket and they protrude a few millimetres from the top of the socket and they glow in various colours. Each one has its own, they're assigned different colours, so you choose what colour you want to use. I'm still using a red and a green one, and they're plugged into my computer. And the red one is plugged into the mains directly, via an adapter, of course, and the green one is plugged into the computer itself. And they're just nice little cues for me. When I shut down the computer at night and walk out of the room, I can turn and look at the LEDs and see if they're on or off. And if they're on, I'm an idiot and I've forgotten to switch the power off. And if they're off, all is well, and I close the door and say, good night, Mama, and start again the next day. So yeah, it's just a bit of silliness. I don't really need two, especially as to my annoyance, I have found out that when you plug an LED into the back of a computer, even if the computer isn't switched on, if the mains is on, then power is going to the computer, and so the LED will come on anyway. So they actually come on and go off together in tandem. As in any case, I wanted to be able to see whether the mains was on or the computer was on, but no. But they're still fun. They're fun and they're useful, and I'm still using them. Oh, people, and they're £5.82, but I can't remember how many you get for that. You might have the page open yourself, Ted. £5.82 for seven pieces in seven different colours.
£7.59 it's showing.
Oh,
me
it's gone
seven.
Up. Oh, sorry, I paid £5 a couple of years ago. Yes,
right. People are also saying that they put them in their cars for decoration on the dashboard. So if you're not using your USB-A socket for anything else. I am struggling though to wonder, apart from decoration, what on earth you would use it for.
I agree. I mean, I think I've come closest because they are actually indicating a state to me. They are telling me whether the computer has been switched on or switched off. So in that respect, they are performing a function for me. But no, you're right. I think really they're primarily just for as you say, teenagers to put in their car dashboards to flash when they turn the ignition on.
Cool. Yeah, that's good. I like it.
And what does the judge bring us this week?
Well, he brings us... Well, I bring you, actually.
do you remember those...
Yes, indeed. Do you remember those Moldex earplugs that you brought to the show yonks ago?
Oh, yes, still using. I've still got the same pot of them. Yes, indeed.
And ever since I bought those and re-bought them and bought them again, I've not really looked at any alternatives. And I thought, right, OK, well, these work to plug in my ears, or in my ear in my case, and they work really, really well. So there's no problem with those at all. But I've noticed that the price has crept up. And so I went on the lookout for some different ones, and I found these a different make called Sanquel, and basically they're exactly the same thing. They reckon they're good up to 38 decibels, but that does depend on the size of your ear canal, of course. In this new thing, it costs £9.99, whereas the old one, which has got less pairs of these things in it, is now £15.65. So, and also in the Sanquel one, you get 70 pairs, so 140 of these, whereas in the Moldex one, you get 50 pairs, so only 100 items. And also you get a little aluminium case, which is completely pointless. But I put two in there one day and I thought, what am I doing this for? I don't really need this. For people that want to take them with them, I suppose, or go to work or whatever, and put them on a key ring, because it is a key ring thing. And you can also get various colours. Anyway, the point really was that laying aside even the aluminium case thingy, which is a bit of a nonsense, you still get, what is it? You get 50%, you pay 50% less, and you get 20 more pairs of these things, or 40 more individual ones. But apart from that, as I say, they look about the same thing, really. And you can choose your colour. I got some pink ones.
Okay. I mean, I was just wondering, are they... Have you noticed a quality difference? I mean, this, we always say you get what you pay for. But so in this case, maybe you've done well. Okay, no, fair enough.
They're exactly the same. I put the two side to side because I've got both here still. And there's no difference. They're the same thing. They probably come from the same factory, but they're 50% less money for more of them.
Okay.
I want one of those.
I want a wooden cartridge for my record player's tone arm.
That sounds very reasonable. There's why not get one?
There's absolutely no reason at all why you would... Well, I suppose if you spoke to some audiophile, they would argue the case for the wood being such good quality that you stop the resonance and you get better feedback through the electronics and blah, 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 blah. I'm sure that they would probably try and argue that. But this company has produced this new wooden cartridge, and it costs £7,000 just for the cartridge.
Well, hang on a minute. I'm looking at the recording notes. No, Ted, it doesn't. It costs £7,288.
So it does look really nice. The company is called Analog Relax.
Relax? I wouldn't relax if I had to pay £7,000 for this thing.
It's made from Tyrolean spruce and baron. No, boron.
No,
boron.
I think it's got to be made from unicorn horn for this price.
But anyway, it just, laying aside all the audio files arguing the point, it just looked really nice. How cool is that to have a wooden cartridge?
Yes.
It would just look great.
Yeah, which is what the point of I Want One of Those is for. Money aside, if you could own one, it's lovely, it's gorgeous, and, why not? Yes, I concur.
We do like things made of wood. This is a theme we quite often come back to on Whatever Works. Whenever something's made of wood, it just feels like it's old-fashioned and good and quality. And yes, wood is the thing.
Better before.
I bought a... Right, OK, let me set the scene. my desk, when I'm in my static, my desk has got one window and it looks out the wrong way for any use for anything. So and quite often I want to see if someone's coming up the driveway, or if I'm expecting my dad, I can see him arrive and jump to action and all the rest of it. But I thought to myself, I don't really need a all singing, all dancing, what are they called? Home smart camera or anything.
Right, yes.
Because what I could do with here, all I need to do is plug it in by my desk, in front of my desk, I'm looking at it now, and stick the camera up the front there, looking out the window. And it, essentially, the VTech VM3250 is a nanny cam. It's the kind of thing that parents put in their child's bedroom.
Right, yes.
So it uses its own network. It doesn't go onto the internet. It doesn't need any smarts. It doesn't need to do anything with your home router or your network. It's just simple. It provides its own network to put to send the signal from the mother thingy in front of me from the camera down the bottom, and it just shows the what's out there, and that's all it does. And it's simple, and it completely met the need of what I wanted to do. And I'm, as I say, I'm looking at it now, and I can see if people are coming down, or you know, someone's going to knock on the door, or whatever it is. If you want to extend the range between the two, the mother unit and the camera, apparently it should work up to 300 meters.
Yes.
It's got a little 2.8-inch LCD screen, which is not great. It's low resolution, but you don't need it to be high resolution.
Yes.
You just need to see what's coming. Or if your kid's asleep, I suppose. It's also got night vision, and it's quite interesting. I thought that would be crap, but actually it's quite interesting. Watching, well, if you happen to look at it while it goes from daytime to nighttime, there's a real marked difference. It clicks over automatically, and suddenly night becomes day, and it's really quite good. So it has this kind of night vision sensitivity as well. You can 2x zoom it, but actually the resolution becomes even worse then.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is 38 quid, and I'm sure you could buy one cheaper, because it's really simple, and it just does what I wanted it to do. There's no setup involved. You switch it on, put the USB-C lead in to power it, power the camera at the other end, and it just works. And it does time itself out after a maximum of 60 minutes. So every hour you have to press the button. But I suppose that saves the screen. Anyway,
yes.
Really simple solution, old-fashioned almost. I thought it was a bit of a better before, because it doesn't rely on apps or networks except its own and all that usual stuff that we're sucked into with regards to smart this and clever that and blah-de-blah-de-blah. I found my solution.
Vive la analogue. Almost. Yes.
Yay.
I love it. I love it. I'm absolutely 100% behind you there, Ted. AA batteries or does it plug in?
No, it's got a USB-C.
USB-C. So I probably missed that. Sorry.
The end that's in front of my desk has got a USB-C charging port. So it does have a battery inside it, and that thing charges the battery.
Oh, okay.
So eventually, I guess, the battery will die and you'll have to buy a new one. But it's only 38 quid. But that means also that if you want to, you can take it with you. So if I wanted to take it to the bedroom for any reason, I could take
yes.
it with me.
Oh,
it's designed for parents, as I say, to be able to take that to the kitchen with them or something and still be able to see what's going on. At the other end, the camera end, that has not got USB-C. It's got a proprietary built-in socket for their own charger. So if that goes tits up, then you'd have to you couldn't charge it. Or run it.
Yes.
But anyway, really good solution.
I love it. I love it. Mine is going to sound perhaps a little pompous, pretentious, but hear me out. I miss petrol stations.
Hmm.
I used to drive a petrol car. I had a diesel car. And as we all know very well, I got a new car a year or so ago.
Did you?
I did. I got a new car, which is electric, which I charge at home. And in the rare occasions when I have to charge on the road, I go to a charging station. I don't visit petrol stations anymore. It's like, it's akin to if I said to you, Ted, you are never to set foot in Tesco again from this point. It's just a part of your life, an absolutely mundane, not important, don't think about it, part of my life suddenly stopped, like a light switch being turned off. One moment I was going to a petrol station at least once a week, and then the next moment I wasn't, ever. And I'm a person, I love driving, I love travelling, I love that feeling of progression and moving through the world, either physically or emotionally or spiritually. I love that feeling of driving and movement. So petrol stations for me were a sort of, I enjoyed the ritual of stopping at the station, filling the car, going inside, buying a cup of coffee, maybe getting a chocolate bar or something as well, coming back to the car, sitting down, putting the seatbelt on, off I go, drinking my coffee. There was a ritual to that that suddenly stopped. It wasn't as if I was told, well, you know, you've got 6 months and then there won't be any more petrol stations. As soon as I got the electric car, that was it. I never set foot in another petrol station. There are, of course, exceptions. I have been in petrol stations since, but maybe once every 2 or 3 months. And it's just, you don't know what you're missing until you miss it. I suddenly realise that there's a little part of my life that didn't seem important at the time, but now that it's gone, it kind of does. And I miss them. And that's all. So it was kind of better before. I love my new car. I would never go back. My new car, as I've said before, is the best car I've ever driven, never mind owned. I absolutely adore my electric Polestar. But I miss petrol stations.
I never go to petrol stations. Well, no, that's not strictly true. I go to a petrol station about once every 6 weeks to fill up my two cans of with petrol. Yeah. And then I put them in Dad's garage, and I never take my scooter to a petrol station, so I too don't really do the same thing. But once every 6 weeks I run out of petrol. But you see, normal people would take their scooter down to the petrol station and fill up when needed, but not me. I thought it would be easier to just get two cans and put them in the garage, so whenever I run out of petrol I just put them in from the garage and not from the petrol station. I really don't know why. Is it laziness? Yeah. It might be laziness. or going back to the previous thing about not mixing with other members of the human race.
Yes, I was wondering about that. I didn't want to say it out loud. Whatever.
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 Work.
Work.
Do, 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 work.
So, we've...
The next... Shush.
Giggles abound, folks, because this is take two, because take one didn't go so well. Go on then, Ted. Try again.
Show 89 was the next one we were both on. Pale Blue Warts. I can't remember why we called it that, but we did. This is... August 2019, the next one we were both on. And, right, you can start, because I've screwed it up enough.
I jumped immediately, recognised Julie Will's inclusion of the Sistema Microwave Steamer, which is basically a plastic bowl with a sort of level within it, a tray inside it. You put water in the bottom, you put your vegetables or whatever you're cooking on the tray, you clip the lid on, you pop it in the microwave. I got one, not exactly this one, but very, very similar, at about the same time or even earlier than that, and I'm still using it almost daily. Whenever I cook vegetables these days, it tends to be in the microwave with the steamer. So I would say that is an excellent purchase, well made and well brought. Thank you, Julie, for bringing it onto the show. What was it, 7 years ago now? Because I'm still using it.
There. Me too.
Oh, brilliant!
I've got one of these, and I use it every day. I have soup before I go to bed in the evening, and I almost always have soup. I like soup at bedtime, and I always cook it in this thing in the microwave, and it's great. It works. It's been going for nearly as long as this. Probably works superbly well. So.
Yeah,
well
yeah.
done. This Sistema stuff is really good. It has to be said. It's the new Tupperware, I think. The one that I wanted to pick out was the squidgy thing, which Keith Bartlett brought to the show. The squidgy thing is this kind of washing up pad thingy. And I remember, I think we got one of these. My mum, yeah, we got one from my mum when she was still alive. And she used to use it when she wasn't using the dishwasher. And I remember her saying that it worked really well. Still available from this place called Creative TV, whatever that is. And it's £2.99. And it it comes in different colours, green and blue. Isn't that lovely?
Exciting.
Yeah. So, yeah, well done, Keith, because I think that it worked really well for us, and perhaps you're still using yours too. So there you go. Oh, and the other thing we were highlighting on this show was my Sisal soap bag, which I won't bang on about again. Right, room 101, apart from Amazon self-assembly
yes,
furniture,
okay.
Which is already in there. Steve Litchfield on well-made white goods, in his case, a washing machine. He put a post in the group where he had a really nice washing machine, but it was spoiled by a cheapo plastic, badly designed and fitting analogue control knob, which, unless you stand or squat down right in front of it, you can't see where it's pointing, and it's floppy and plasticky and crappy. And he wonders why on earth you'd make a lovely washing machine and then spoil it with a cheapo plastic crappo thing. So there you go.
Yeah,
that's your turn.
I can see where Steve's coming from there. I've seen that. Companies, you know, they build something akin to a Rolls-Royce standard, and then they accoutrement it with nasty plasticky bits. So yeah, I get the point there, Steve.
Yeah.
Thank you. I want to do a first. I want to give something room 101 and a gold star simultaneously. This is a piece of music by Max Richter called On the Nature of Daylight, which I first discovered watching the programme Old Tricks. I don't know if you know the crimmy series, the crime series, Old Tricks, about a bunch of old geezers solving crimes. And I heard this music and I thought, that's amazing, and I looked it up. And it turns out it had been used on quite a few TV programmes. It's a piece called On the Nature of Daylight. And it's gorgeous. I have to say that for my personal musical taste, it is a beautiful piece of music. And that's why I want to give it a gold star, because it really is a wonderfully moving, lovely piece of music. The reason I will then put it into room 101 is because not only has this piece of music been used in several TV series by now, I took my mother the other week to see Hamnet, the new film, which we enjoyed very much. Excellent film. I recommend it. And guess what popped up at the end of this film? On the Nature of Daylight by Max Richter. Now, yes, OK, Max Richter composed the rest of the music for that film. But please, I looked it up and I can tell you that that music has been used, among others, in Stranger Than Fiction in 2006, Shutter Island 2010, Disconnected 2012, Arrival, brilliant film, 2016, Togo 2019, and, as I've just said, Hamnet 2025, and others. And I just thinking, yes, it's a wonderful piece of music, but if you use it all the time in every second film produced, my God, it starts to become tedious. So there we go. Simultaneous, gold star, room 101 at the same time. There's a first.
I'm familiar with that piece of work, and I do find that it's really tediously repetitive, I have to say, regardless of how many films it's been put on. Just listening to it, you know, you listen to it once, you think, oh yeah, that's really nice, lovely, very moving, as you said, and you can see why they've used it in films. But, you know, after one listen, it's not something you really want to go, well, I don't want to particularly go back to and listen again, because it's just the same. Even like 10 minutes into it, it's just repetitive. But I think that's true of most of his stuff. I've listened to, in fact, I've got two of his LPs, the Blue Notes, I think one of them's called, and it's just repetitive. Anyway.
Well, then why did you buy two? One would have done. But you know what? I've got to say, Ted, of all the each to their own, music is the absolute epitome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, you couldn't drag me to a Cliff Richard concert screaming and shouting, and yet some people would love to go. You know, you can't. No, your opinion is absolutely valid, and yours, as is mine, as is everybody else's. So, but there it is.
Right, you've really confused things now, because now, in the middle of this, we've got to put the gold star jingle.
OK, well, let's put the gold star jingle in now. Gold star.
Ah. Right. Apart from On the Nature of Daylight.
On the Nature of Daylight. Max Richter, gold star. Thank you.
I'm going to put in Nothing Phone Company, whatever it's called, the Nothing Phone Company, because they updated the software on one of their phones. I won't bang on about it too much, but they updated the software on one of their phones, and they did something to it, which was just crap and horrible, and it was much worse than it was before. So I got onto them using the feedback thingy, and I told them, and I said that it was crap and they need to change it back to what it was like before or make it better. And they engaged with me by email, a real human being. It wasn't a robot, because I would have known if it was. Mm-hmm. And they listened to what I had to say, and they said, watch out for updates coming, because, you know, we've passed this on to the development team and blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, an update came along a couple of weeks later. And the thing that I asked to be fixed had been fixed. But more than listening to their customers, I think the Nothing Phone Company are willing to engage with their customers. And I think that's quite rare now. I did say that before about Anchor. They were very good at this as well. But I'd like to add Nothing to that, because the customer service is really good, unlike MeWe, who are crap.
Yes, and I'm sorry to say Polestar as well. My lovely car have a dreadful customer service. Yeah, it is in this day and age, as you say, it's lovely to just to when you're actually answered by a real human being and treated with some respect and understanding. So yes, hear, hear.
Yeah, right, okay. We're done. We're going to be back in our in April. Do you know the first Tuesday in April is the 7th? So we actually. It's quite a long time till the next show, I'm afraid. But sorry, everyone. Whateverworks.works is our website. Aidenbell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me and all I do. All your other audio podcasts are linked there as well. And also there is links to all the MeWe groups, which I just caned. That is where we hang out in the MeWe group. So let us know whatever works in your lives. Give us some feedback, let us know, and we'll have lots of content for the shows going forward. So, yeah, have a good month, everyone, and we'll see you in April. And last word to you, as always.
Thank you, sir. I just want to say, isn't it lovely to do a show when we are both 100% well and fit and healthy and in a good mood and having a good time, and spring has just started, and hey, everybody, life is good. Enjoy it, and see you in 3 weeks, four weeks, 5 weeks, absolutely. Whatever it is.
Spring has sprung.
Yes, indeed.
So, yes, as always, one last thing to say. Don't forget,
whatever works,
works.